If you have your Bibles, we'll turn, please, to Philippians chapter 4, a portion that we read together. And with Bibles open, we want to ask the Lord for his help and his blessing upon the word. Loving Father, we praise thee that we have a great friend in the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord, now as we would turn even to thy word, that would help us to preach, and that would help us to listen to thy word. Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. Speak, Lord, I pray, to the hearts of all of your people. May they hear the voice of their blessed Saviour speaking to their hearts. We pray for thy help. We pray, Lord, for thy glory now. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Philippians chapter 4, and the very commencement of verse 6. Will be our text. Apostle Paul, writing to this church of Philippi, he says in verse 6, be careful for nothing. Be careful for nothing. Worry and anxiety seem to be part and parcel of our life. And I'm sure there's not a family or a person who is cure or worry free today. No doubt each one has locked up in the chambers of their heart a fear, a cure that is causing them great pain and distress and worry. Maybe there's someone today in this congregation. Why we come to God's house and to worship the Lord. Why we have come to praise the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe there's one, maybe there's two of God's people, more, who's burdened down with cares and fears and worry. Someone once said that an average person's anxiety is focused on 40% of things that will never happen, 30% on things about the past that cannot be changed, 12% about criticism by others, mostly untrue, 10% about health, which gets worse with stress, and 8% about real problems that will be faced. So when he looked at the subject of worry, stress in the life of a person, he brought it right down to just 8%. 8% of your worries are true and will give you cause to worry. People make excuses for worrying. You know, some people say today, well, you know, I worry because it runs in the family. If you know my mother, you know, she was a real worrier. Didn't matter the slightest wee thing. But she was worrying, she was fretting, her heart was full of fear. And some people say, well, you know, I'm just like mommy. I worry because my mother worried. I'm just like her. Runs in the family. We do know that worry affects you. Worry affects sleep. How often people allow worry to steal away those peaceful hours of a good night's sleep. The tossing to and fro upon the pillows. The tears that would fall quietly from their eyes. You see, worry can take away your sleep. Maybe last night there some people in the congregation didn't sleep because you're worrying. Something has happened to your family. Something has come into your life, causing you distress, causing you fear, and last night you never slept because you worried. See, worry takes away your sleep. Worry can make you sick. It is said that over 100 diseases have been directly attributed to worry. The medical fact that worry plays a part in blood pressure, heart attacks, etc. Even results in a person having a nervous breakdown. All because of worry. Worry is very subtle as well. See, worry can be easily hid. You could be here this morning, you know, and really, really fretting. But you can hide it. You know, it's subtle. You can hide your worry and your fear. We can say, think, but he's the happiest person in the church or the happiest woman. They haven't got a care in the world. But all the time, their heart is full of fear and worry. We can hide it with a smile. Maybe that's what you're doing. Hiding it from your family, from the minister, congregation. You see, worry is subtle. Worry slays. It's a very destructive thing, worry. We are told that this word worry comes from an Anglo-Saxon word that means harm. In fact, it's from another form of the word wolf. It is something that is harmful. Worry is something that bites and tears like a wolf. It actually means to strangle. It's like someone placing their hands around your neck and slowly choking you to death. You see, worry destroys. It destroys your peace. It destroys families. It is hard to live with someone who's constantly under great distress. It can destroy relationships. I think everyone knows what I'm speaking about this morning. Worrying. Does that sum you up? Have you a care, a fear in your heart this morning? Worrying. Like this old wolf means to strangle. Like someone with their hands around your neck. And your heart is full of worries and fears. Listen, our text says, be careful for nothing. You know what that actually means? Don't be worrying. Don't be worrying. It means to be anxious about. The Lord is saying, don't be worrying. Don't have a care. Don't have a fear. And the Lord Jesus himself said the words the same over in Matthew 6 verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. And it is the word thought is the same word for careful. Don't be worrying. That's what the Bible says. And yet all over this province, God's people, today in God's house, they have lost the joy of the Lord and their hearts are full of fear and full of worry. And yet we come to the Bible. The Bible, speaking of God's people, says, be careful for nothing. Don't be worrying about anything. Isn't that wonderful? And yet we do worry. Why is it then? Paul, writing to this church, can write these words to these people. No doubt they were worrying. No doubt they had fears. And he writes to them and says, be careful for nothing. Why is it then that we shouldn't worry? Why is it? Well, first of all, can I say this? Because they had the Father's compassion. They had the Father's compassion. Look at verse 1. It says, therefore, my brother, listen, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy, my crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Why should these people never have a worry? Why should they be careful over nothing? Because they had the Father's compassion. Listen, my dearly beloved. God loved them. You see, here was a people, God, and they were dear to the Lord. He loved them, yes. But the Apostle Paul, writing to this people, was speaking that he loved them, and he loved them dearly. They were God's dearly beloved. God had loved them. These people, hearts full of fear, fretting, losing sleep, they were loved of God. They were loved of God, you see. They were God's dearly beloved. They were God's precious people. Because in Malachi 3 verse 17, speaking of God's people, says, and they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels. And there is God referring to his people as his jewels, you see. They are his treasure. And in Daniel 10 verse 11, it was said to Daniel, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved. Daniel at that time's heart was full of fear, but he told them to fear not. But he says to them, oh Daniel, a man, yes, greatly beloved. Why then should God's people fear? Why should we worry? When you've got the love of God. When God loves you. When we are dear to him, you see. As Martin Luther says, God does not love us because we are valuable. But we are valuable because God loves us. And Paul, writing to these people, says, listen, be careful for nothing. Why? They've got the Father's compassion. Listen, you're dearly beloved. God loves you. And that's a very basic, simple lesson that we can find in the Bible. We sing it with the children. Yes, Jesus loves me.
But how often you forget it? How often, child of God, you've forgotten it? When trials have come and pressures of life and lying on your pillow at night, cannot sleep, and tears and broken heart and worry and fears and stress and everything. And yet you've forgotten that Jesus loved you. Dearly beloved, he loves them dearly. He loved them passionately, can I say as well, because there are different words in the Greek language for love. There's a word that means fondness and affection and kindness. There's another word that means the strongest love possible, agape. And when God speaks of his people and his love for them, that's the word God uses. He doesn't just use this other word that means fondness or affection. No stronger term to be used. That's the word God uses. And not only does he love them, dear friends, dearly, he loves them patiently. And here's Paul writing to these people with all their fears. My brethren, dearly beloved, God loves us greatly, patiently. Know how much God really loves us. The Lord Jesus brought in that great prayer of his in John 17 and verse 17, or verse 23. He says, I am them and thou and me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me. And here's what the Lord Jesus in his prayer to his Father said about his people, and has loved them as thou hast loved me. Imagine. The Lord Jesus says that God has loved us like he has loved him, Lord Jesus. Has loved him as thou has loved me. Can there be any love greater than that? The Lord loves his people patiently, like he loved his son. And words of mine couldn't explain the love the Father has to the Son. And yet, with that same love that God had and portrayed to his Son, he loves his people with that same love. Then why should we fear? Why should we fret when God loves me with this great love? Herein is love, not that God, that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins, demonstrated by the cross work of Christ upon the cross in sending his Son into this world and to die for us. That's how much God loves me. A foul, wretched, sinful man. Oh, child of God, be careful for nothing. God loves you patiently. He loves you eternally as well. In Jeremiah 31 verse 3, that I have loved thee with an everlasting love, you see. And I want to say to God's people, there's never a time when God will stop loving you. Never be a time. He loved you in the past. He loves you, can we say, in the present. He'll love you forever and forever and forever. There'll never be a time when God will not love you. Our love to God goes high and hot and cold. There's times, you know, we can really sing from the hymn book, My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. And our hearts is burning within us. But there are times, if we're honest, they're only words. But you know, it's not our love to God we're speaking about. It's his love to his people. You see, the Father's compassion. As Thomas Watson says, God never repents of his electing love. He never changes. And Paul writing to this people, says, don't be worrying. Be careful for nothing. Why can we say, why should I never worry? You've got the Father's compassion. And if you're a worrier, if you have a fear in your heart today, listen, don't be worrying. Don't be worrying. Remember, God loves you dearly, compassionately, and eternally. Law never change. Circumstances may change in your life, but law never change. You see, they had the Father's compassion. Another reason, can I say, they shouldn't worry, because they had the Father's care. Look at verse 19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You see, why should a child of God worry? You know, we've got a loving heavenly Father. Watching over them. Sees, listen, their every need. Why should we worry when we've got the Father's care? My God shall supply all your need. Here's the promise of the scare. Listen, shall. This is the word of God. This is not my word to you. This is God's word to all of our hearts here this morning. Here is the promise of the Father's care, shall supply. He has promised to do it. He has promised to supply all material needs. Food and homes and clothes and bills and so on. God has promised to supply all their need. That's why people worry. Is that why you're worrying? We know we're living in a day and age when it's hard to make ends meet. We know that. But listen, why do we worry? My God shall supply. The promise is here. And the Lord Jesus himself said that in Matthew 6, that we take no thought for your life or what you shall eat or what you shall drink or for your body or what you shall put on. The Lord Jesus said, don't be worrying about these things. And we don't tell us why. Because of our Heavenly Father. He looked after the little fowls of the earth. What is he saying? He'll look after you. God will take care of you. That's the teaching of the Bible. That's a testimony, can I say, of the people of God. The promise of his care shall supply all material needs. Do you ever see any of God's people going hungry? Have you ever really went hungry? Maybe for a couple of hours, maybe. But not really. But always our need has been met. Because of Father's care. And all physical needs. In hard times, God will meet your need. Sickness. Trials coming upon them. It says in Psalm 41 verse 3, the Lord will strengthen him upon the bed of languishing. That will make all his bed in a sickness. Here's what tells us about God coming to the bedside of one who's in bed, who is sick. And the Lord will help him. And the Lord will make all his bed in his sickness. See, God will meet their every need, whatever that will be, friends. Paul says in verse 13, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me, you see. You see, the Father's care. He'll meet your need. I can say that's my testimony to serving the Lord for many years. I remember when I gave up my work to go into the ministry and my wife was giving up her job to have her first child. I remember people saying to me, well, Noel, well, how are you going to do? What about the... And I said to them this. When the Lord called the fishermen, they didn't say to the Lord, but what about the want? And I trusted God. And that's a testimony of God's servants. The Lord has met our need. And child of God, don't be worrying. The Lord knows all about what you need. Whatever it is, he knows all about it. And he'll meet your need. That's a promise of his care. And the portion of his care. Listen, all your need is held here. Whatever you need, the Lord will meet this. The Apostle Paul finds this in his life. He said in verse 18, you see, I am full. I am full, he says, you see. Why was it? Because the Lord had met all of his need. He was in prison. But God still met his need. You see, that's a portion of his care. He'll meet your every need. And I want to say this. He'll meet your need, not your greed. This doesn't mean that we can live carelessly. Throw money around. I'll buy this, I'll buy that. Say, Lord, he'll look after me. In other words, what we're really saying, the Lord will pick up the tab, decide to spend away, and, well... You'll find, dear friends, it's not happening like that. It doesn't mean we can live carelessly, but it means this, we can live confidently. I can live confidently in this world. That the Lord will meet my need. That's the promise. Why should we worry? Why should you fear it there? The Lord, we were singing, is my shepherd. Listen, I shall not want. Are you worrying this morning? Things happen in your heart, in your family, in your life that's causing you great pain and sorrow. Maybe we can say in a sense, judgment day is coming closer. The deadline's coming closer. Don't be worrying. You've got the Father's care. As one writer said, God looks over us, but never overlooks us. Dear friends, he knows. Be careful for nothing. Why? You've got the Father's care. He'll supply all your need. Don't be worrying. Don't be worrying. God doesn't want us to worry. know, any time I find myself worrying, I would quote this verse to myself. Be careful for nothing. I've got to practice what I preach. After all, God look after me. Can I say something else? Why they shouldn't worry? They had the Father's company. Look at verse 9. Those things which ye have both learnt and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace, listen, shall be with you. These are wonderful words. Why then should they fret and fear and worry? Because, listen, they had the Father's company. The God of peace shall be with you. We see here the presence of His company. He says, God will be with you. Now, it doesn't say that an angel will be with him. And there are ministering angels. Hebrews 1 verse 13 and 14 tells us that. And that is true, of course. He doesn't say an angel will be with you. But he says God will be with you. God will be with you. How true this is, that the Lord is with His people. We do know that God dwells in the bodies of His people. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6 verse 19, what? Know ye not that your body is a temple of God, which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not alone. The Holy Ghost is in us, you see. God is dwelling with His people. They have the presence of His company. Think of the Apostle Paul, the man that God used to bring these words to this church. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 16, in this great time of trial, in fact, going to be put to a martyr's death for the faith. He said in 2 Timothy 4, verse 16, at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be led to their charge. Notwithstanding, he said, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. See the difference? Where was his friends? Where were his fellow laborers? Where were the servants who helped them to spread the gospel? He said, no man stood with me. But nevertheless, friends, he said this, the Lord stood with me. You see, friends, he proved it in his own life. You see, he had the Father's company, that God is with him. Dear friends, why do you fear? When God is with you, God of peace be with you. The presence of it. God is with His people. And you know what the old devil comes? When all the trouble comes and all the trials, and the devil, remember, is the father of lies. He's a liar. That's what Christ said of the devil. And the devil comes to God's people and he tells them in their times of trouble that God has left you. That God has left you. He's turned His back on you. He doesn't hear you. And the sad thing is, God's people believe that. They believe that. They say, well, you're right. But that's where you're wrong. God will never leave His people. The Lord Jesus says, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. He never leaves us. Then why should you worry? You've got the Father's company. He's with you. And that's a real blessing. That's a real comfort in this day and age. No matter what happens, and the pressures of life, and all the fears and cares and worries that would lay hold upon us. It's great to know the Lord's with me. That's the presence of His company. Think of the peace of His company. It says the God of peace shall be with you. You see, not only, dear friends, you have the Lord with you, but listen, His peace, that's what you need. That's what you need when you're fretting and you're fearing and you're worrying. That's what you need in your heart and in your life. And the Paul says here, and the God of peace shall be with you. That's what you need this morning. You've been worrying, fretting, fearing last night, last week, last month. You need peace. Listen, the God of peace is with you. Remember, God came to Abraham in Genesis 15, verse 1. And He says, fear not, Abraham. Listen, I am thy shield. See, Abraham feared. Abraham's heart was filled with worry and with care, and he was anxious. And God had to come to this mighty man of God and say, fear not, Abraham. I'm your shield. All cares and worry flies. When you let this really rest in your heart, that God is with me. The God of peace is with me. What have I to fear? What have I to dread? Listen, leaning on the everlasting arms. Be careful for nothing. God is with you. Do you know this? Well, he said, I don't really feel God with me. Listen, he's with you. Faith. It's by faith we overcome these things. God is with his people. Why should I worry? Because if God be with me, who can be against me? Oh, can you see now why Paul wrote the words, be careful for nothing? They had the Father's compassion, the Father's care, the Father's company. But they have another thing too as well. They had the Father's command. Because he went on to say in verse 6, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God, you see. He says, be careful with nothing. Listen, but, there's a great but. Here, what were they to do? The Christian's business. They were to pray. That's what he was saying. Don't be worrying about anything. But take it to the Lord in prayer. He went on to say, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Listen, pray. Pray. That's what he's saying. This is the Christian's business. That to bring our burdens to the Lord. Take your burden to the Lord, the hymn says, or the song says, and leave it there. That's what you've got to do with your worries. Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to him. And leave it there. Isn't that wonderful? What if you had a friend and they said to you, well, every burden, every trial, every fear you have, I want you to do something. I want you to bring it to me and leave it with me and I'll sort it all out. You said, boy, that was a great friend. But that's exactly what Christ is. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our griefs and sins to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. And I was going to say, have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Why? Take it to the Lord in prayer. That's what that's just a link here about not being worried. Don't be worried. Be careful for nothing. But he says, pray. That's the business, you see. I know a child of God, your heart full of fear and worries this morning. Now what are you going to do? Take it to the Lord in prayer. That's your business. Take it to them. Tell him. That's what he says. Come into the holy place and bring all your burdens and all your need and all your fears and all of your worries and lay them at the feet of Christ. The Christian's boldness. He says everything. But in everything by prayer. Oh, he said, no, it's only a wee problem, but it's a big problem to you, maybe. Everything, you see. Little things. Things that cause you to worry are the little things. And there are some little things do cause God's people to worry. Are the great things that cause you to worry? It says here, everything. Everything, you see. Just bring it all to the Lord. That's what he's saying. One writer says, nothing is too small, nothing is too large to bring to him in prayer. Christian blessing is in this as well. Because the Lord is telling us here that he will take care of that burden. In 1 Peter 5, verse 7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Cast all your burdens. Cast all your cares upon him who is Christ, our Savior. The Bible says we are to cast all our cares upon him because he careth for you. Don't be worrying. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Tell it to Christ. Weep at his feet. Take your burden to the Lord. Listen, but leave it there. And that's where we go wrong. We tell the Lord all about it and then we take it back home with us. Learn to leave it there. Learn to leave it at the feet of Christ. Say, Lord, there it is. Sort it out. And go on. And when the old devil comes and says to you, well, what about this problem? What about it? The Lord has it. You see, friends, that's the Father's command. We are to pray. We shouldn't have a worry in our heart. I don't really mean that. You shouldn't be worrying about anything. Not one thing. Or I shouldn't be, of course. I have the peace in myself. We shouldn't have one fear, one worry. Because we have a great God. Take it to the Lord in prayer. The story is told in closing about a pilot. Years ago, in the pioneer days of flying. A pilot went out to make a flight around the world. And after he had gone for some 2 hours, he noticed a noise in the aircraft. It was like a gnawing of a rat. And he realized that a rat, while the plane had been on the ground, a rat had gone in to the plane. Little did he know what damage was being done. Maybe the rat was going through a vital cable or control of the plane. It was a very serious situation. He was 2 hours away from his field and over 2 hours to the next landing place. And all he heard was this gnawing of a rat eating him. First he didn't know what to do. And then he remembered that the rat is a rodent. It is not made for the heights. It is meant to live on the ground and onto the ground. Therefore he began to get the plane climbing. 1,000 feet. Another 1,000 until it was more than 20,000 feet away up in the sky. And the gnawing of the rat ceased. And the rat was dead. The rat couldn't survive up in the atmosphere at the heights. When the pilot brought the plane in, he looked and sure enough, he was right. There was a rat and was dead. And you know, folks, today that worry is like a rat in your heart and mind, eating away. And if it's left alone, it will destroy your life. It steals away all your joy and all your power and all your energy. But the old rodent of worry cannot live in the heights of the heavenlies. We rise up to God. We go to the Lord in prayer. Then they have friends that cannot live. That's what you've got to do. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Don't be worrying. Be careful for nothing. But take it to the Lord. Oh, I trust the Lord will speak to your heart, to his children, who has cares and fears this morning, that you will remember the points that we brought out. The Father's compassion, the Father's care, the Father's company, the Father's command. Oh, we shall go out. If you've been into this place this morning and you're burdened down, as says Nehemiah, carrying a burden on the Lord's day, I hope that you'll leave it behind and go out without it. You'll leave it at the feet of Christ. We have a great God. Can I say a word to those who's not saved? You have a worry. You have a care. Only Christ can take that away. Only the Lord Jesus can take away your sins. Would you turn today to him? And he will save you and give you everlasting life. Amen.